We've been talking about our inheritance and what we're going to be doing, and I want to continue that and maybe try to get a little further along what I have been doing. But we have an inheritance that is in the heaven out there that is on high. Notice before in Colossians, notice what he says in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Don't do it on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Now that word glory there is not a place. You're going to appear with Him in glory. That is a position. That is a condition that you is a part of your inheritance. Robbie read the passage. Turn over, hang on to Colossians and look in 2 Timothy in chapter 2. And he read the verse, he was talking about, I'm not going to read the same verses, but in verse 10. And notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Condition. Not just that they have the salvation, but they have the salvation with eternal glory, and it has to do with the reigning with Christ in the context. Look back, hang on to Colossians now, and turn to Romans, and look in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, your inheritance is a glorious thing. You know that? I believe glory has to do with brightness. I believe it has to do with light. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, there is a glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and each star differs from one another in glory. So it has to do with how bright you're going to shine. It has to do with the light of the Lord. Notice in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I reckon, go back to verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer, there's 2 Timothy chapter 2, while Robbie read the passage. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There is glory someday. Look over in chapter 9, in Romans chapter 9, and notice in verse 22, Romans 9:22. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath, fitted to destruction? And they fitted to destruction because they reject the truth. Verse 23. And that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had prepared afore, which He had afore prepared unto glory. The vessels of mercy are prepared unto glory, verse 24, even us. We're the vessels of mercy. We're prepared unto glory, and it has to do with His riches of His glory. Notice also, and I don't want to just keep going on, in chapter Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. Notice what he says there in Ephesians chapter 1. Why is our inheritance so important? Well, our inheritance has to do with showing the glory of His grace. We demonstrate, we glorify, so to speak, the grace of Almighty God. If we had anything to do with our salvation, then God cannot get all the glory for saving us. If we have to be good enough, if we have to do good works, in order, if we have to do anything for God to save us, then He doesn't get all the glory for saving us. We have a part in it. So God fixed it so that He would save people, sinners, without them doing anything, and His salvation and His eternal life that He gives to them demonstrates and glorifies His grace in all eternity out there. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, we done discussed those heavenly places. In other words, Christ, according to Colossians 3:1, is where? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's set there. He's been, that's His position. He is number one. He has the preeminence. He's God the Son. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're three agree in one. Look at it like water. Water is a liquid. It's a running liquid. But you can take that water and you can put it in a freezer and you'll have a solid. But it's still H2O. It's still water. I can take that ice that was one time liquid and put it on a heat under it and melt it. And you know what comes up off of it after it gets so hot? Steam. Steam is a vapor. It's still water. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. All of them are the same, but yet they have different, they're different. But listen, Christ is there at the right hand of the Father. He is God Almighty. He's Creator. You understand? And then we are seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we have an inheritance out there, and that inheritance is seated with Him in heavenly places. And God has blessed you and me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places out there. Now, I can't get to my inheritance yet because I don't have a body that I can function out there where God can use me. But one day He will change this vile body and give me a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. And folks, I will be a son of God. That is the adoption. It's the placing of the sons of God out here in the universe, ruling and reigning with Him. And folks, what you suffer for down here, for the Word of God rightly divided, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the message that God gave to the Apostle Paul. You suffer for that truth down here. You are shining glory out there, reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to see this. Notice something else. It's glorified. It's glory. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with Him in glory out here. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Now these positions out here are called principalities, powers. But notice in Philippians, I wanted to read this, verse 20. For our conversation, our manner of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things under Himself. Then it's a glorious body. One other passage, and we'll go on. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I quoted verse 41. The Bible says in verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. And folks, I believe this has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus Christ was corrupted on the cross, and He was corrupted by us. He was a sinless Son of Almighty God. But the Bible says that God made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Him in Him. Folks, Jesus Christ became what you are on that cross. Verse 43, the body now, He's talking about that. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. When Jesus Christ went down corrupted, He came up incorrupted. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in what? Glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. But after that, which is spiritual. Now watch it. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Now here's my verse. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Flesh and blood can't do it. He goes on to say that we'll all be changed. We're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ came up out of that tomb on the third day, a quickening spirit, power, God Almighty, the Son of God came up. I want you to know someday we will be changed just like He is. And we will be manifested in all of God's creation as the vessels of His grace. And shine forth. Look in Ephesians now. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. What we told you there, and He said there, and having seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. That word adoption has to do with the placing of His sons. It's like go through a process, you adopt a son, and that son becomes yours wholly and complete when the adoption process is complete, and he is your heir, and he is your rightful son, and he's placed into your custody and into your home. That's one day, folks, when the Lord comes and the body's complete, that body will be placed out into the heavens in as God's sons. Now you gotta think about that. You're talking about inheritance. Folks, it shows forth His grace. Look in verse 5 again, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to His good pleasure of His will. Why? To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You know what we're going to be shining forth is grace. It's to the praise of His grace. Grace, grace, grace. You know, somebody look at that and say, God, show me Your grace. There's Winston. Here's Brian. Right there's two vessels that show forth My grace. They didn't deserve it. They never done anything. But I saved them and I gave them a position out there. Look in chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2. Heavenly places, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, where are you seated at? Come on, where? Heavenly places. Where's Christ at? He's at the right hand in heaven. You're in heavenly places, positions, positions of glory. Look what He says there. Notice, go on, He said, in heavenly places in Christ, verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. It's His workmanship. It's His job to get me saved. It's His job to keep me saved. It's His job to present me without fault or blame before Him in love. It's His job to get me to my heavenly places, and He'll get the job done. Look over in Philippians. In Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Folks, Jesus Christ gets the glory for it all. He gets the glory for dying on the cross. He gets the glory for saving us. He gets the glory for giving you the faith to believe. It's His glory. And we'll be sharing in that glory. Now, I want you to notice some things about it. Turn with me back to Ephesians and look in Ephesians again. We're seated with Him. Notice this thing about it in chapter 6. In chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Where? You know what these places heavenly, you know what there also is? High. High places. Notice what he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's human flesh. We're not to fight each other, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Where is the rulers of the darkness of this world at? A little light from the class. Where are they at? They're not in Washington. Where's the rulers of the darkness of this world at? Against spiritual wickedness in high places. They're out there. Where are you going? Right? Look in chapter 4 of Ephesians. In chapter 4. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith that he ascended up on where? Well, did he go to heaven? Where is high? It's up. He ascended up on high, led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. The captivity captive that he led is the body of Christ. They're in high places, folks. Notice in chapter, I don't have time just to keep going there. Turn with me to Psalms, and I'll just use this one. In Psalms 82. Now, we done looked at Daniel. We'd already seen them princes out there. How that they kept Daniel, Gabriel from coming down through there and them territories and worlds out there. Folks, this earth is a copy of another out there. And the tabernacle that Moses built, according to Hebrews, is a pattern of the heaven. There is a tabernacle out there. There is a planet out there. It's like Earth. That new Earth's going to be, one is going to be, there's a city out there. It's 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles wide. It's four square and it's, folks, it's out there somewhere and it's coming down. So will you believe all that? I believe every little bit of it. Jesus Christ is due north. You all know where heaven is? It is due north. Get your compass and go out some night and look up and go straight due north and look up and you'll be looking right into where heaven is. According to this Bible. Folks, I believe this book. I believe it means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it. And when science contradicts this Bible, you know what I do? I throw science in the trash can. This book that you've got in your life is the only true history, science, whatever book is on the planet. Do you realize who said the world was flat? You know they said the world was flat and you go out through there and you'll fall off. You sail out through there and go off. The scientists. You know, even medical science. I get amazed. One day eggs is bad for you, next day they're the best thing you can eat. Books and books and books just crowd the libraries. It's outdated. Oh, we found a new discovery. This is really, we said this was bad for you, but it's really good for you. You can stick to this book and it never changes. And it's relevant for every age and every day. Folks, you have God Almighty's Word written down in sixth grade English that you can read and understand if you'll rightly divide it. Notice in Psalms 82, verse 1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. Look in verse 6. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most what? High. Folks, when he talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, he's talking about out yonder above your head. And those spirits are ruling this world. And there is a political leader of this world. And there is a religious leader of this world. And there are leaders of territories out there. Just as the United States is a territory, you can bet your booties, there is a principality that's out there in heaven that controls this country right now. We saw in Daniel that Persia, the king, a prince of Persia, withstood me 1 in 20 days. Well, then there is a territory out there that's Persia. You know what Persia, modern-day Persia is? It's Iran. Well, you know who controls Iran? It ain't that Nemajot, whatever you call his name. He's controlled by a prince in the heavens. You know who controls this country? It's controlled by a prince in the heavens. Now look at this thing. That's why you have battles. And they have ministers and they have spirits and demoniac forces that influence people to make decisions that causes you pain. Paul said a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me, smack him around and keep tormenting him. You realize everywhere Paul went, there was some ungodly Jews that followed him into every town and stirred up trouble with him. How would you like that? Everywhere you went, somebody showed up to cause you trouble. Do you realize that in our day, we suffer mentally? We don't suffer physically because the laws of the land won't allow it. Now, sometimes it happens. But we suffer every day mentally. We suffer in our minds and we suffer through the decisions that other people make that causes us pain. And they're led by a spirit. And folks, sometimes as members of the body of Christ, that's influenced by evil spirits to make decisions or say things that hurt people. Be careful what you say. Make sure that it's seasoned with salt, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Why? Because Satan can cause you to say something to hurt your brother or sister in Christ and cause them pain. And you don't even realize it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these spirits in high places. That's why Paul talks about how you talk. Look in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Look in verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another, build them up. Chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to the edifying, his good to edification. Look over with me and just turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and I got to move on. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That would be the redemption of your bodies and being placed out there in the heavens. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, that's hurtful speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why? Let Satan use you. Don't let these demoniac spirits use you in speaking hurtful things to brothers and sisters in Christ. But let your words be for their building up. Now I want you to see something else. Notice high is heaven. The church will reign as Christ the head. Look with me over in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And notice in verse 16. Colossians 1:16. For by Him, Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church. Alright, Christ is the head, right? Huh? Am I right or wrong? Alright, look what He said. And He is the head of the body, the church. So Christ is the head. Now notice what He says, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, and the all things is the all things of verse 16 that was created, that in all things He might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father, that in Him should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. They're already reconciled by His blood, the heavens, the earth, everything. He said all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, but He's not exercising that power now. Notice what He said. The having made peace through His blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now look over in chapter 2. In chapter 2, in verse 10. And ye are complete in Him, Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Well, what is Christ? He's the head of all principality and power. Who is the principality of power? The church, folks. He's the head of the church, the body. We are the principality and power. We're going to be the rulers in heavenly places. My goodness. Folks, people want to... Heaven is a city. And that's as far as they go. Folks, you're going to be over all of God's creation. Ruling and reigning with Him. Isn't that grace? And you never done anything to deserve it. One other passage, and I'm going to let you go. I want you to look back in Ephesians. And notice this thing in Ephesians. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated or predetermined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Who first trusted in Christ. You know what it's all about? We're to the praise of His glory. You see, one of these days, Michael's coming down. We went through that in Revelation chapter 12, and there's going to be a war in heaven. Satan is going, and his angels fought against Michael, and their place was found no more. And they're going to be cast down to the earth. Then at Revelation 19, we will take that one. Look over in Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Now when this has happened, we'll be placed as sons out here in the universe. Out here will be the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness, every name that is named. There'll be some higher than we are. There'll be some that, like Paul, I imagine Paul will be pretty much up there, top of the list of authority. Others is out there. There'll be some of the body of Christ that was just like Ephesians says, every name that is named. They're there, they'll have a job to do, they'll be happy to do that job. Look at it like an army. You have generals out here that lead the thing. You have the commander in chief, he's the head. Then under the generals you have the colonels, you have the the majors and captains and all of the officers and down to the lieutenants and then down to the sergeants and the corporals and the privates and all of that. Think about it like that in an order of things out here, and God does things in order. You understand that. He does not just haphazard, just throw things together. God, you read this Bible, you'll find out that the Lord is a great mathematician. He deals in numbers. And so He sets up this structure out there. Right now, they're occupied. Now look in Revelation 19. In Revelation 19, notice in verse 6. And I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Now you're not the wife. You don't make yourself ready. We're made by God. You understand? You are a created son of God. But notice verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are true sayings. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. That's the day of Christ. Come down to verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite, verse 15, did I tell you that? Sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. That'd be like the law. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now folks, he comes down and finally Satan is defeated, the Antichrist is defeated, and Satan is cast into the bottomless pit. And listen, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. His wife has made herself ready. Notice who that is. Turn over to chapter 2. In chapter 2. And notice in verse, Well, I can't find it in chapter 3, can I? Verse 26, chapter 2, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, that be unto the end of the tribulation, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Hold upon, I thought Jesus Christ was going to rule them with a rod of iron. He is. Through these people. That sword, the wall. And he shall rule as vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. In other words, if those that are overcome, they make themselves ready. They give white linen. They become the wife of God. They become the bride of Christ, so to speak. And you know where they go? She goes into that city. And that city has 12 foundations. And on the names of the 12 foundations, guess whose names is there? I'll give you one guess. Y'all don't know? 12 apostles. And the 12 tribes too, because they got 12 gates. 12 gates, 12 foundations, 12, 12, 12. Now what nation is 12? Do you realize the natural boundaries of this earth is broken down in 12 boundaries? One for every tribe of Israel, and God's going to use Israel to rule this planet, and this planet is going to populate, this planet's going to keep having children, and they're going to keep growing, and His kingdom will never end, and they will be transported out, you can bet your booties, out into other places in the universe, and there's where we come in. And it's an on, and it just keeps going. Never stops. Heavenly places. If we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him in glory. If we deny Him to keep from suffering, He'll deny us a part of that glory. Thank you for being here. Happy Mother's Day. If you're not saved, you like to talk about it, I'd be happy to talk with you. But let me just tell you this, there's nothing you can do to get saved except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for all your sins and trust that for your salvation. You are at liberty to go.